chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. And if you want to follow along, you can on page 235 in the New Testament. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. And, I suppose what a coincidence that Peter got up here and is substituting as the pulpit assistant and reading from 1 Peter. That was not planned. So this is it. We have come to the last part of our church mission statement this morning. We have spent the past month and a half or so looking at who we have heard God calling us to be as this particular local church. How we have heard God inviting and calling us into the story of the good news of Jesus Christ, inviting us to then tell and share that story through who we are, through who God is calling us to be. And we have been doing this using the lens of our church mission statement. And so now here we have come to the end. And I've told you each week there would be a quiz, right? So to answer the question, what or who have we heard God calling us as this church to be? What is it? Who remembers it? Oh, goodness. It's written on the top inside of the bulletin, right? We are a Christ-centered community, welcoming all in hope and grace as we worship God, grow in faith, and serve one another. All right, there it is. So now, before we get to the last part of that mission statement, we've looked at these things. We've looked at being a community, welcoming, worshiping, growing. We've looked at them individually. And we haven't explicitly talked about it, but I hope that maybe you've also seen a little bit, or maybe gotten at least a little sense of the overlapping nature of these things. That when we do or embody one facet of this mission, the others are involved too, right? Right now, for example, we have gathered together to worship. That's what we're doing right now. That's why we're here at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. But all these other things are going on at the same time too. Because we are worshiping God together, because of that, Christ-centered community is also happening. Welcoming and being welcomed in hope and grace, that better be happening. Growing in faith, it's happening right now. And that last one, serving one another, believe it or not, that's actually happening right now too. Did you know that? Or we could look at other things, right? I don't know, fellowship and community events, for example. We may not stop to sing hymns at a pancake supper, but God is glorified. God is worshiped when God's people gather together and spend time together, getting to know each other. And those times also, in their own way, they strengthen our faith, don't they? Becoming connected with our brothers and sisters. Whatever it is we're doing, when we do it together, that in its own way strengthens our faith. Community and fellowship, they also depend on welcoming and hospitality, right? There's also opportunities to serve one another during those times, isn't there? All these things are interconnected. God calls us as one body to one mission. And these things that we have been talking about over the past month and a half, they are all facets of that one mission. All of them together telling the same one good news story of Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons that we've been doing this past month and a half is because we are now in what we often call stewardship season. And next Sunday is the Sunday that we are inviting us all to bring our pledges and commitments in for the next year. And certainly stewardship is a year-round calling, not just with money, but with time, and talents, and energy, imagination, all the things that God has blessed us each with, and whatever they may be. Whatever they are, stewardship is simply to recognize that whatever it is that God has blessed us with, has blessed you with, it is just that. It is a blessing. And we are called to be stewards of our blessings, to use them well and in ways that honor God. Blessings are always given to then be a blessing to others. None of this means that it only counts if it is in church. We talk a lot about stewardship in the context of church, but it's not just about what goes on in the church. God calls us to be stewards in a myriad of ways, loving and serving your family. That's being a good steward. Using talents and time that God has given you in your vocation. That's being a good steward. Being a good neighbor is being a good steward. So when we talk about stewardship, we are not saying that the only way to be a good steward is to just focus all our energy on things that go on in the church. But that is a part of it. And so what this actually looks like, this thing called stewardship, what it actually looks like from person to person, family to family, it's going to look different for everybody. You may not have a lot of money that you can give. But maybe you've got some extra time. Family and career may limit the time that you have, but maybe you've got a little extra money. Or maybe you have a really good energetic imagination, and that you can offer new ideas and an exciting vision for what might be possible inside and outside the church. Stewardship is about being stewards of all that God has blessed us with, that God has blessed you with. But as it happens, we are in the time of the church year, of our calendar year, of our financial year, when it's the time of pledges and church budgets for next year. And so you should be getting a pledge card in the mail this week, and we are asking us all to just prayerfully consider and discern what this one particular aspect of stewardship might best look like for you. And then bring those cards in next Sunday. But as we're considering this, it is good to be reminded of exactly what we are giving towards. What exactly God is inviting us to be invested in, to invest in. A Christ-centered community, welcoming all in hope and grace. As we worship God, grow in faith, and serve one another. And so now, finally, here we are in the last part of this mission, as we serve one another. First off, I'm so glad that phrase made it into our mission statement. The phrase one another. I love that phrase. I love that is kind of the last word in our mission statement. One another. Because that very phrase, one another, it is sprinkled throughout Scripture. In fact, if you noticed, it occurs three times in just those five verses that we read this morning. Maintain constant love for one another. Be hospitable to one another. And finally, serve one another. These one another's of Scripture. And I did a really quick count this week. There are around 18 or so different and distinct one another's throughout the New Testament. Some of them are repeated, so the phrase actually occurs a whole lot more, but there's at least 18 or so separate and distinct commands about one another in the New Testament. And these one another's, they remind us of what we talked about a little bit at the beginning of this sermon series, that to be called by Christ into a new and renewed relationship with God is also to be called into a community, into a fellowship. Not just fellowship with God, but with each other as well. To be called into a fellowship with one another. We need each other. We need one another. And so Peter here in his first letter, he begins this little section of the letter with kind of an interesting proclamation. The end of all things is near. Right? That's an interesting way to start out this section. If you're going to the grocery store and there's a guy standing out front with a big sign that says the end of all things is near, I'm guessing most of us are going to go in the other entrance. Right? But that's how Peter begins this section here. The end of all things is near. And certainly the theological word here is eschatological, having to do with the last things. There's a sense of that here. But it's important to also note that even in that, Peter here does not mean everything is about to stop. It's all over. We're doomed. That's not what he means. The word end there is not end as in everything is over. It's the word telos. It means it's end as in the goal, the purpose to which everything has been aimed at. The fulfillment, the goal, the purpose has drawn near, he says. Jesus has come. God's glory and salvation and redemption has shown up. In just 2 weeks, we'll be entering the season of Advent. Can you believe already? In just 2 weeks, the season of waiting and preparation. And what that season reminds us is that even as we look back at and celebrate Christ's first coming, Christ's first Advent, and we rightly celebrate and rejoice in it, glory to God in the highest indeed, but we also know that we are still waiting. Our lives are still punctuated with longing. Even as we look back to his first advent, we still find ourselves longing for his second, for the fulfillment of all that has come in Jesus Christ, for to finally be truly fulfilled. Theologians call this the already not yet of the kingdom of God. It has already drawn near and shown up, and yet it is still coming. That's what Peter is talking about here at the beginning of our passage. This already, not yet, of God's kingdom is where you find yourselves, he says. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Be at work praying for one another and for this world. And above all, maintain constant love for one another. Be hospitable to one another. And like good stewards, the manifold grace of God, the multifaceted diamond of God's grace, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. This, Peter is saying, this is how you live in this in-between time. You live in a way that proclaims and embodies and maybe even is already now growing into what the fulfillment will be like. And for our purposes today, notice that serving one another is linked to being a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Serving one another is about grace. It's about proclaiming it. It's about receiving it. It's about sharing it. It's about living into God's grace together. In those books of the Bible that are called the Synoptic Gospels, that's a fancy term for Matthew, Mark, and Luke together. The first three Gospels in the New Testament, the last thing that Jesus did, that he gave to his disciples as a group before he was arrested and crucified was what we now call the Lord's Supper, a meal that is a remembrance and a sign and a seal of his grace, a grace that invites and welcomes and offers hospitality and community in and through and like a shared meal. And Jesus said for us to keep doing that, for us to keep sharing that meal in remembrance of him as a sign and a seal for us of his grace. But in the fourth gospel, in John doesn't record the whole supper on that last night. They are at a meal together. John does talk about that. But what John focuses on is not Jesus breaking bread and pouring out the cup, but it's Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And then Jesus says, after washing their feet, like we talked about with Lorraine during the children's message, Jesus says, "I am your Lord, and I have just washed your feet. So now you wash one another's feet." The sacramental sign of God's grace in Jesus Christ that's brought out in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the picture of what it is like is a table and an invitation to a meal. God offering us hungering and thirsting people hospitality of hope and grace around the table. And we are invited to continue doing that together. But in John, the sign and the picture of what God's grace in Jesus Christ is like is the God of the universe, the Lord, taking on the role of a servant and washing our feet and then inviting us, calling us to do that for one another. Like good stewards, the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift you have been given. Share and live into God's grace together through serving one another with whatever it may be that you have been graced with. We serve one another because we are called to tell and share and show a story of Jesus, a story of the manifold grace of God. The very incarnation of the manifold grace of God who came not to be served, but to serve. And just as we are called to be good stewards of this manifold grace of God, there is a manifold of ways that we can live that out, that we can serve one another, that we can find to wash one another's feet. Everything from giving your time and energy, taking a Saturday and serving down at the food pantry, or any number of things like that that we often think of when we think of serving others, to volunteering with children's programs or adult small groups, to using financial gifts to support the church or community organizations, or things around the world, doing good work in the world, to working with groups like the deacons of the church. The word deacon literally means one who ministers to or one who serves. And we're going to hear from one of our deacons a little bit later on in the service. Or maybe it looks like all those things that need doing behind the scenes of any number of things that go on. I'm going to play a dangerous game here because I don't have time to name everyone who serves in this church. We would be going through everybody. But for example, Walter and Josh are here. Many of you know this. They are here several times, several days each and every week, helping us be good stewards of the gift of this place that God has blessed us with. And they don't like that I'm bringing up their names now because but they do it because they have found that's a way to wash our feet. Or maybe it's serving one another by bringing a casserole when it's needed most. Or just being there as a shoulder to cry on with an understanding ear. And I know so many of you do that for one another and you continue to do so. I hear those stories all the time. all of these and countless others, or how we wash one another's feet. Goodness, I alluded to this earlier. When you just show up to church, your presence, your gift of your time, just showing up here, spent here with all the rest of us, it makes a difference. It makes us who we are on that morning or evening or afternoon, whenever it is. Finding those ways to wash one another's feet, to be stewards of the manifold grace of God for one another. That's what it means to serve one another. To proclaim and tell the story of God's grace in Jesus Christ to one another. Whoever and wherever that one another happens to be. And sometimes, do you know what else that might look like? To serve someone else. To be a steward of God's grace to someone else, sometimes that means letting someone else serve you. I am pretty good about wanting to jump in and help, but I am horrible about receiving help, which is going to make this surgery thing in a week and a half. So pray for Rachel, please. Because it is easy for me to forget what grace is really about. Parents, you know this, right? When you have a kid who wants to help you do something around the house, especially when they're really young, sometimes that help actually makes it harder, doesn't it? Doing it yourself would be so much easier and faster and more efficient. But letting them do it, letting them learn to do it, is a gracious act. And it serves them by helping them grow into who God is calling them to be. It serves them by showing them that they and their contribution matter and is important. Sometimes grace looks like an invitation to come alongside and partner with the work being done. All of this to say, what it actually looks like when the rubber meets the road can be any number of things, because stewardship and service and all of this that we've been talking about, it's all about being a good steward of showing and telling of the manifold grace of God to one another and to the world. It's about embodying and living out and living into the grace of God for one another. This is who we are called to be. This is who God is inviting us to be for all the one another's here in this place, and to be for all the one another's out in our neighborhoods and our communities. God's grace is such that the Lord invites us into the work that Jesus is doing, coming alongside and partnering with the work of grace that Jesus is doing. And that, in a nutshell, is what stewardship, whether we're talking about money or time or energy or talent, whether we're talking about here in the church or out in our families and communities, our schools, our jobs, wherever and whatever, that is what stewardship is all about. It is about receiving God's invitation of grace to invest in, to partner with what God is doing. And so, family, may we continue to grow. May we continue to learn to be stewards. May we continue to become a Christ-centered community, welcoming all in hope and grace as we worship God, as we grow in faith, and as we serve one another. As stewards of the manifold grace of God, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him be the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Say it again. Amen. Amen indeed. Let's stand and sing.